Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I hope everyone out there is well as we begin to get ready to usher in the weekend, right? I mean, maybe by the time you're listening to this, some of you guys out there, some of you lucky individuals are already enjoying the weekend. But for those that work the usual Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, you just got a few more hours there, all right? A few more hours, you know, 4 more hours, and then bam, you can enjoy the weekend that will be. And it is supposed to be absolutely gorgeous here in mid-Michigan. Sunny skies, you know, if there is rain, it won't last very long, tomorrow at least. But it is going to be an absolutely gorgeous weekend, and I really hope you can, you know, get out the house, at least go for a walk. You know, those who are homebodies, at least go for a walk and enjoy some of this really good weather, okay? But hey, I am so thrilled to be with you all on this Fri-yay edition of Current Sports. There's so much to get to. So much to get to. Now, I must say, unfortunately, there will be a couple of stories that I have to tackle that aren't going to be fun to cover. Most notably, a story that, you know, and I rarely do this, but, you know, I was so tired yesterday. I worked a lot yesterday. You guys know, my longtime listeners know that, you guys know, I've been acting for going on, 6 years now. It would be 6 years next year, so I've been acting for 5 years, and I'm working on a film that we start shooting at the end of this month, and it's a big opportunity for me. You know, it's like my first true lead role. So when I'm not working Current Sports, you know, I'm learning lines, I'm doing character development stuff, I'm doing stuff for my acting class when I'm away from the Current Sports mic. So I was doing a lot of prep work yesterday in addition to stuff for Current Sports, and I just felt the need just to get away, man. Just to, you know, when you get bogged down with work, you just got to have that release in your life, right? And you guys know my release is golf, all right? Al Woods in full effect, and yesterday he was in full effect. I had a very, very good outing yesterday with my guy Nick. We went out and played 9 holes in the evening on what was a beautiful evening here in the greater Lansing area. And I probably played the best 9 holes I've played so far this golf season. But anyway, you know, I got back from that, and, you know, I sat on my couch because, you know, I usually work out at night, and, you know, I got caught up watching a little NBA last night. How about the Utah Jazz just putting a whooping on the LA Clippers right now? They have a 2-0 series lead there. And, you know, I watched a little bit, probably like the final 3 minutes of the Brooklyn Nets and Milwaukee Bucks game, which was really good. The Bucks showed a little fight in that one. And, you know, you look at that game, though, you know, Chris Middleton and Giannis Antetokounmpo accounted for 76% of Milwaukee's offense last night. And they barely squeaked out a win over Brooklyn. That says a lot. I think it's going to be a gentleman's sweep. I think that, I mean, goodness, they need some help. Chris Middleton and Giannis were just like a two-man show out there. So I think it'll be a gentleman's sweep. I think the Brooklyn Nets, you know, once they get past Milwaukee, I just don't see anybody in the East other than Milwaukee that can really give them some kind of a challenge. You know, I don't know, maybe you could bring up a team like Atlanta, but they don't really have the firepower and the depth to deal with, you know, a squad that has Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving on it. I don't know, maybe not until, you know, we see them in the finals will they be challenged against who I think is going to be a team in Utah. I think Utah will be there. I don't know, maybe somehow Phoenix gets there because with the way Chris Paul is playing. But anyway, so to get back to my point, I watched, you know, the end of the Nets game, and then I watched the majority of the Utah and Clippers game. And then I watched the debut of Clarissa Shields in mixed martial arts. And it was very, very impressive. I'm going to get to that story in just a moment. But, you know, after I watched that, I was like, all right, let me get up and get ready for the gym now. And my body was like, no, you're not going to the gym. And I'm like, no, I'm still going. You know, I'm like fighting with my body internally because I know I want to get this done. And I said, all right, let me just take a little nap. I'm taking a nap at midnight, by the way. Let me take a little nap from like, you know, 12 to 1 a.m. And I'll get up at 1 a.m. and knock it out. My alarm went off at 1 a.m. And I looked at my phone and said, nah, never mind. I'm gonna wake up in the morning and do it, which I rarely do. And that's what I did today. I woke up very early today. I felt so refreshed, so recharged. And I worked out from about 7:30 to 8:30. And then I went to go get me some coffee right down the street. And, you know, when I was in the coffee line and I'm looking to my right and they have, you know, you got your bubble gum and you got, you know, your Esquire magazines, all that stuff there. And then I look to, you know, to the right of the magazines and there's the newspaper rack. And every newspaper that I saw on that rack, and I'm talking Detroit News, Detroit Free Press, the Lansing State Journal, there were a few others there as well. The front pages of those newspapers were addressing what happened yesterday when it came to the press conference of legendary college football head coach Bo Schembechler. Matt Schembechler, who detailed how his father, Bo, ignored rampant sexual abuse by University of Michigan doctor Robert Anderson. And I just knew that you know, today was going to be, at least some of today's show was going to be heavy. So even though it's Friday, the sun is out, everybody's feeling good, I have to address this. And, you know, this is a story that certainly gives us here in East Lansing, us Michigan State fans, us Michigan State alum, it gives us unfortunate memories of what is the darkest chapter in Michigan State University history with Larry Nassar, former Michigan State doctor, Larry Nassar. So I'm just letting you know that's coming. I'm going to give you an update on former Michigan State basketball star Keith Appling. A new order has been handed down when it comes to Keith Appling, which I'll get to. So those are two very heavy stories that are around the corner. And then we'll hit a lighter note, because I do want to touch upon Juwan Howard, who has garnered interest from the National Basketball Association. And I knew this was going to happen. You know, when we saw especially the success that Juwan Howard had with the Michigan men's basketball program just this past season, and that really dope, it was a really dope NCAA tournament run, because nobody really expected it. I didn't expect it. In the end, they fell a little bit short, but it was a great, great run, wasn't it? You know, UCLA put out both Michigan State and Michigan this year in the tournament, but a really dope run. And Juwan Howard being named, you know, Big Ten Coach of the Year. He was considered for National Coach of the Year as well. He has done a remarkable job with that program in a very short amount of time. So when you have that kind of success at the collegiate level, especially for a program and a school like the University of Michigan, you know that the NBA is going to become calling. Whether it be this offseason or the next offseason, if he continues to do an outstanding job, you know that the NBA is going to have some interest, especially because Juwan Howard has these very fresh ties with the NBA. You know, he's not too far removed from the association and has so many different connections. So it wasn't surprising to hear that Juwan Howard was being targeted by many different teams out there to possibly come to the NBA and be a head coach in the association. All right. So I want to touch upon that story a little bit. And I also, you know, before we say goodbye today on this week's Current Sports, I also want to talk about how the head coach of the Los Angeles Rams, Sean McVay, how he is gushing over his new quarterback, who is former Detroit Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford. Folks, if you have not heard or read the comments of how McVay feels about Matthew Stafford, oh boy, cue the romantic violin music, because he is absolutely in love with his new toy. He really is, folks. And it really just puts in perspective as well. When I heard these comments this morning, and I heard McVay talk about Stafford, I said, oh, goodness, man. I know. I get it, McVay. Detroit Lions fans didn't really appreciate Matthew Stafford. They would constantly point to him as the reason why the Lions aren't making consistent playoff appearances, when it was way more deeper than that. It was that sorry defense. It was that horrid offensive line. It was the lack of a consistent run game. You know, it's easy to point the finger at the quarterback when Matthew Stafford was one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL for a nice period of time, when he was rocking the Honolulu Blue, one of the most sorry NFL franchises in the league. McVay knows he's got a gem and he's got somebody special. So I'll get to those comments later on this hour, all right? But first, after that long preview of what's coming, I have to tip my cap, give a round of applause for what Clarissa Shields, Flint's favorite daughter, the self-proclaimed, quote, greatest woman of all time, what Clarissa Shields was able to do in her MMA debut last night was nothing short of amazing. You know, I was texting a few of my buddies last night who are big fight fans. You know, I constantly bring up my guy Will, who is probably the biggest fight fan I know, and he actually indulges in the sport a bit himself. So he watches it from a really sharp, keen eye. You know, we were texting back and forth, and, you know, he asked my prediction on the fight. And I told him, just as I told you all on Thursday's show, I thought that Clarissa Shields would, I thought that she would win, but it would go the distance. But I also followed up, and this is something I didn't tell you guys yesterday. I followed up with that text message by saying, but I wouldn't be surprised if she lost by a TKO by Brittany Elkin. Wouldn't be surprised because, I mean, we're talking about a boxer who is entering an entirely different combat sport. Yeah, they're both combat sports. MMA and boxing are combat sports, but MMA encompasses so many other fighting techniques that, you know, if you think you're just going to walk into the octagon coming from the square ring and have immediate success, you may be sadly mistaken. But the only person who was sadly mistaken was me, because Clarissa Shields looked like an MMA vet, to be honest with you, last night. Didn't she? For those that saw that fight, especially because she lost the first two rounds. Let's be real here. And she openly admitted that during her post-fight press conference last night. When she was breaking down, you know, what happened in that fight, she said that very, very candidly, I lost the first two rounds. You know, when Brittany Elkin, because this was going to be the major test, if you can't stay flat-footed and expect to outbox arguably the greatest female boxer of all time. It's not even, take arguably out. She is the greatest female boxer of all time. You can't stand toe-to-toe with her. You got to get her uncomfortable, especially in her first fight, and you got to get her on the ground and try and dominate the fight that way. And I knew it. I said that off rip. I said that Brittany Elkin is going to try and tackle Clarissa Shields from the start, from jump street, and get her on the ground, and then we're going to see really what Clarissa Shields is made of, because she's never been in that position professionally ever before. So that's what Brittany Elkin did those first two rounds, and Brittany Elkin was winning the fight because of that. But I must say, with that being said, Brittany Elkin may have gotten Clarissa Shields down, but Clarissa's defense, and more importantly, her composure, was MMA veteran-like. She didn't panic. You could just see it. You can see on a fighter's face if they are panicking in the fight and if they are confused or don't know what to do. If they're hitting that big red button, right? But you could see it in the eyes of Clarissa that you know, and she is this is why she's so great. She is a hard working fighter. You know, she mentioned how she didn't talk to her boyfriend for four straight weeks, how she didn't see her mom for 2 months, how she was training and in the gym five times a day. That's the kind of dedication. If you truly want to be great at something, that's the kind of dedication you have to have for it. And it showed. The trainers that she worked with, they had worked, and she talked about it. They had worked constantly on the ground game, and they gave her advice as to what to do. You know, shift down, try and shift your hips, stay poised if you're on the ground. And she was poised. Brittany Elkin landed some shots, but they weren't shots that really hurt Clarissa. And that's the thing about her as well. She's so tough. She's so strong. She's got great defense. It really didn't hurt her. Brittany Elkin did not hurt Clarissa. So Clarissa mentally, knowing that she had lost those first two rounds because Brittany just went, you know, when she tried to stand toe-to-toe, she realized quickly that she can't deal with that power coming from the fist of Clarissa Shields, so she had to go for the takedown. That's what happened in those first two rounds, and the majority of the fight in those first two rounds were on the ground. That third round, when Brittany went for the takedown, Clarissa didn't let her get her down. She shifted her hips back. Her legs were in back of her, so Brittany couldn't really get a good takedown. And that gave Carissa the upper hand there because her body was above Brittany and she was able to shift Brittany to the side, and then those hammer fists came. And when you're taking when you're taking fists to the dome from the hands of the greatest female boxer of all time, it's going to hurt, and it's going to hurt a lot. And if you don't get out that position quickly, you will lose the fight. Brittany Elkin didn't. The blows kept coming. And Clarissa Shields proved to be successful. A TKO at 1 minute and 44 seconds of the third round in the main event of PFL4. She proved to be successful in her MMA debut. Shout out to this amazing queen. She is amazing. She really is. You know, to do that, to have that kind of a performance in your MMA debut, wow. And she's only going to get better. You know, Clarissa, she's the kind of fighter, she's the kind of athlete that's obsessive about getting better. You can tell. She is going to be in the gym constantly working on her ground game to make sure that what happened in those first two rounds against Brittany Elkin does not happen again. And, you know, Elkin is a Brazilian jiu-jitsu brown belt. I mean, Elkin, even though she was 3-6 entering that fight, I mean, Elkin has a lot of experience, a lot of veteran experience, and she's the bigger fighter, you know, lengthwise. So, I mean, for Shields to do what she did, I mean, she deserves all the credit in the world. It was fun to watch that. Shields said afterwards, quote, "I never doubted myself winning a boxing match in my life. MMA, it's like it's possible I can lose this first fight. I just had a never quit attitude every round." Yeah, she definitely did. She did not give up, folks. And, you know, Elkin is a 35-year-old Wyoming native. She's now on a 4-fight losing streak. So I don't know where Elkin's career is going to go from here, especially if you lose to what was, because, hey, Clarissa Shields is an MMA fighter now, but what was a boxer entering that fight. we'll see what where Elkin goes from here, but 4 straight is not great. So, but yeah, you know, Shields has spent, you know, parts of the past 6 months training in the arts of mixed martial arts at Jackson Wink MMA out in Albuquerque, New Mexico. That's the home, as I mentioned on Thursday's show, of UFC stars like John Jones and also Holly Holm. And Jones actually got in the octagon with her a few times, I saw on Instagram. And they did some training together as well. So awesome stuff. And she became the first 2-division undisputed boxing champ of the 4-belt era back in March when she beat Marie-Eve Decaire. So, yeah, her future is incredibly bright. I'm so excited to see where she goes from here. I saw that, you know, being the main event on that ticket as well. They were, you know, we were also watching. I watched a bit of the prelims, you know, leading up to Shields versus Elkin. And, man, I think that the PFL may be even more brutal than the UFC. I mean, they don't stop a fight if you're getting, I mean, even with the Shields and Elkin fight, you know, Elkin took a lot of blows to the head before that referee said, okay, that's it. It's over. If that had been UFC, like the first maybe like 4 or 5 punches, it would have been a wrap. The referee would have called it, and it would have been over. But the PFL, they let you fight a little longer. And I think it may be a little more brutal than the UFC because of that. So, yeah, pretty wild stuff. Pretty wild stuff. The PFL, I may have to check out a few more fights. That was pretty entertaining. So, and speaking of UFC, for all my fight fans out there, one of the most entertaining young fighters in the game. He is he's must see TV anytime he gets into the octagon. But UFC 263 will feature Israel Adesanya. I love him, man. He is an amazing, amazing fighter. Israel Adesanya, Izzy, will get in the ring with Marvin Vettori. This will be the second time the two will fight. The first time, the last style bender, known as Israel Adesanya, he beat Vettori, but it was a match in which it was close. I'll just say that. It was a non-title fight, and Marvin was able to cause some trouble on the ground for Izzy. Izzy dominated the fight when they were upright, but on the ground, it was a little iffy. So that fight, that's the big fight tomorrow night that a lot of people will be watching. So want to mention that. All right, what I want to do right now, I want to hit our first break. As I do that, I want to let you guys know that you can call up and give us your thoughts on anything in the sporting world. And you know what? We had a caller yesterday who put me on game because I didn't know that the softball championship was taking place in the College World Series yesterday, the College World Series championship in the world of softball. And we had a caller call yesterday who was listening to the show. Thank you so, so very much. And mentioned that Oklahoma and Florida State were getting it on. And Oklahoma shut down Florida State 5-1 to win the NCAA softball championship. So awesome stuff there, folks. If you're listening to me and you want to put me on game to something, and I may not have mentioned it on the show, please call up and let me know. I really, really appreciate that. So, congratulations to Oklahoma. Big, big victory there. And, the Seminoles, they tried to complete an unlikely run to the title. You know, doing some reading, I saw that they entered the tournament as an NCAA 10 seed. They were a tourney 10 seed. And, at the end of the day, you know, Oklahoma just proved to be too much. But a great showing by FSU, despite falling yesterday. So, but congratulations to Oklahoma. Celebrate that. That is awesome, awesome stuff. But again, yeah, if you want to call in and give thoughts on anything on your sports noggin, you know, anybody who has any thoughts on Clarissa Shields, Flint's favorite daughter, man, doing what she has done in the world of combat sports, winning her MMA debut last night. If you have any thoughts on that or anything that you want to address, you know, you can call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Call in and leave us a voicemail at that number. You can also weigh in courtesy of social media. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Leave us a comment anywhere there on our Facebook page. And you can also tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR News or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we got to get into some heavy stuff here. Just warning you guys that I want to talk about the press conference that occurred yesterday as Matt Schembechler, who is the son of Bo Schembechler, one of college football's greatest coaches out in Ann Arbor, former University of Michigan football coach. Matt Schembechler has some pretty troubling allegations about University of Michigan Dr. Robert Anderson and what his dad, Bo, knew about some possible wrongdoing from Robert Anderson. So we'll get into that, and I'll also give you an update concerning the latest on former Michigan State basketball star Keith Appling. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Bo Schembechler. That's a name that is revered here in the state of Michigan, specifically out in the city of Ann Arbor. He is known as one of the greatest college football coaches ever. He coached the University of Michigan college football program. He never had a losing season in his 21 years at Michigan. His legacy is known. He's got a statue, for goodness sake, at the Big House. And any Michigan fan that I talk to just hold him in high, high regard. Well, his legacy may be taking a bit of a hit right now. As many out in the sporting world and beyond are talking about, are having conversations about what he may or may not have known in regards to the countless allegations of abuse centered on University of Michigan Dr. Robert Anderson, who has since passed away. So Bo's son, Matt Schembechler. Now, we had got word yesterday that Matt would be holding a Thursday afternoon press conference to address some very troubling allegations centered on what he went through as a young kid in regards to Robert Anderson. This is a bit of what was covered yesterday during the press conference. And again, this story is everywhere. I mean, it's on the front page website of ESPN.com. I saw, you know, Yahoo Sports has a piece up, Sports Illustrated, all of the local papers. You know, I told you how I was getting my coffee this morning, and I looked to my right, and, you know, every newspaper here in this state that I saw on that rack, at least, on the front page, had something about Matt's press conference from yesterday. Matt said he was just about 10 years old, excuse me, when former University of Michigan Dr. Robert Anderson molested him during a physical exam back in 1969. Quote, "I was really an innocent kid." Now, I'm gonna read a quote here that, again, these are for adult ears. If you don't want to hear it, just please just turn me down right now. Just want to let you guys know that. I'm not going to get into really harsh detail here, but just warning you. All right. Quote, "He asked me to take off all my clothes, all of them, underwear included. I remember asking, do I have to take these off? And, well, you know, he's a doctor. It was really confusing for me." And after he did that, the abuse began, which I won't go into those graphic details. But Matt Schembechler and other former players say that they had told Bo Schembechler that Anderson had abused them, but he turned a blind eye, even telling one player to toughen up. Again, these are allegations here. I want to let that be known. I have to let that be known. But a report commissioned by the university released in May found that allegations against Dr. Anderson were also made to multiple university officials more than 20 years before he retired. You see the similarities to what happened at Michigan State here with Larry Nassar? I don't need to point out the similarities, do I? Enabled behavior. People who suspected that some kind of wrongdoing was going on but did not speak up. And by not speaking up, more and more people were unfortunately victims of abuse at the hands of these two sick individuals. Speaking to CBS News with his attorneys, Matt Schembechler said that he told his father, Bo, who had adopted Matt after marrying his mother. But he says the university coach punched him in the chest. Matt says that his dad, Bo Schembechler, punched him in the chest when he told his dad what was going on. Matt says, quote, "It was the first time I saw him have one of his rage fits where he just seemed like he just lost it. He just lost physical control. And the screaming and spitting and hitting, threatening." He said that Bo Schembechler prized the winning team above all, even fighting to keep Anderson after Matt came forward. Quote, "I was told that Dr. Anderson is gone, and next thing you know, it seems within a couple of days, he's back reinstated. Only because of Bo." End quote. And I'm reading from CBS News here. Attorneys for the accusers say that more than 850 people, including former football player Daniel Kowalski, accused Anderson of abusing them during doctor's visits over a period of nearly four decades. Nearly 40 years is what we're talking about here, folks. More than 850 people. Oh. This is what Daniel had to say. Quote, he had a press conference as well. Quote, "Dr. Anderson violated me again and again. I have avoided doctors ever since that time, jeopardizing my own health, and have found it very hard to have intimate relationships with women." End quote. The investigation commissioned by the university found that, quote, "Dr. Anderson's misconduct may have been detected earlier and brought to an end if school leaders had taken action. While many of Anderson's accusers are suing the university, Bo Schembechler, he passed away back in 06 and Anderson died in 08. Neither of them were charged." And that's the thing about the situation as well. You know, when you are a victim, and this is what I would constantly hear when we at WKAR covered extensively the Larry Nassar scandal, and I would invite survivors of Nassar onto our airwaves, including the voice that sparked it all, Rachel Denhollander, they would constantly talk about how if this man goes to jail for the rest of his life, how there will be some kind of peace within their soul knowing that this man is no longer out there abusing others. It provides some kind of closure, even though this already happened to them, and you can't change the past, but knowing that he is behind bars, it provides some type of closure, some kind of punishment for Nassar provides some type of closure. And now, you know, Bo Schembechler is gone. He has passed away. Anderson, again, he passed away in 08, two years after Bo did. Neither of them charged. I can only imagine what these survivors are going through, how they are handling that. There's no kind of closure there. That's tough. Matt Schembechler believes justice still needs to be served, saying his hope is, quote, "This never happens to another kid again." He goes on to say, quote, "And frankly, I want the University of Michigan to say they are sorry. And we all do everything we can do to make sure this does not happen again." Now, the University of Michigan says that it expresses sympathy for Anderson's victims and condemns his actions, and it has adopted dozens of policies since he left to protect students. Again, I was reading from CBS News there. Wild story, right? I mean, reading about this again, for me, you know, and I was there when Rachel Den Hollander, I'll never forget being at the Ingham County Courthouse as a reporter just a few years ago, as Rachel Den Hollander gave her survivor impact statement. She was the last one to speak. After all of these survivors had spoken, she was the last one to speak because it was so fitting that she was the last one, because her voice to the Indy Star, that report sparked up this wave of courage for other survivors to speak up and give their unfortunate, harrowing story of surviving this sick man. And I'll never forget being there and hearing what Rachel had to say and just the emotion in that building that day. As these survivors, and Rachel being the final one to do it, staring this man in the face and detailing the sick things that he had done to them, but also taking back their power by looking at him in the face and saying, but look, I'm still here today. I'm still fighting today, despite what you did to me. And the power of that. And now knowing that Dr. Anderson is no longer here, he doesn't even deserve the title as Dr. Anderson, knowing that Anderson isn't even here anymore, these more than 850 survivors don't get that opportunity. But I remember covering that story, and you guys know, I mean, my longtime listeners know, I mean, all of the coverage that we did here at WKAR, reading about this story and reading that piece about yesterday's press conference from Matt Schembechler, there are so many similarities between what went down out in Ann Arbor and what went down here in East Lansing, and also what went down internationally with Larry Nassar when it came to the Olympics. It turns your stomach. And the fact that you have two sick doctors abusing hundreds of people at two of the most prestigious universities in America, but the two most popular universities here in this state, that's got to sicken us as Michiganders. It really does. We should not be proud right now as a state. The fact that two of the most notorious abusers in the medical field were employed by the University of Michigan and Michigan State University, that is I don't know the word. I don't even know the word I'm looking for right now. It really is incomprehensible. It really is. And it's sickening. And Wolverines and Spartans everywhere should not be proud. All right. Had to get that off my chest. When we come back from this final break, I'm going to give you an update on Keith Appling, former Michigan State basketball star. Again, I told you two heavy stories here before we close out the show. If you have any thoughts on any of this, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I encourage you to call in. Let your voice be heard. Please let your voice be heard, because I think that when we talk about stories like this, it provides some kind of cleansing for the soul. It really does. And we need to speak up and speak out and let our voices be heard, so that we can as a society not let this kind of abuse ever happen again anywhere, let alone at Michigan State or the University of Michigan. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Leave us a voicemail at that number. I'll roll in all of your voicemails on Monday's show, okay? Go to facebook.com/WKARnews. Leave us a comment anywhere there. Tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Tweet the show at WKARnews. Just a few minutes left here. We'll be right back. All right, folks, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Just want to let you guys know, give you an update on former Michigan State basketball star Keith Appling, who has been charged with first-degree murder. We've been following that story since it broke over the Memorial Day weekend holiday. But Keith Appling, he was ordered to remain in jail during his first court appearance on murder and other charges in Detroit. Defense attorney Andrew Abood, he asked for bail, saying that Appling had always appeared in court in previous cases, but a magistrate denied bail yesterday, noting the first-degree murder charge. So, I mean, first-degree murder, you're not going to get out, you know, on bail. It's first-degree murder. So Appling, who was 29 years old, he said little during the arraignment. Abood entered a plea of not guilty on his behalf. He's accused of killing Clyde Edmonds, who is 66 years old, was 66 years old, on May 22nd during a dispute over a gun. Appling's girlfriend, who was accused of driving the getaway car, faces less serious charges. Appling's mother and the victim's wife are cousins. So there's the relation there. You know, I've been saying since covering this story that there's a relation there. This is Keith Appling's family member. So his mother and the victim's wife are cousins. So that would make the death of Clyde Edmonds, that would make Clyde Edmonds Keith Appling's cousin. So he has been in custody since his arrest on May 24th, and separately he is charged with assault in Jackson for an incident on May 2nd. Unfortunate stuff for a former Michigan State hoop star who had so much promise. He played pro basketball overseas. You know, Tom Izzo has commented on Keith this week, and he called it sad. And said that he felt bad for him, and it's a shame that happened. And he also said that, look, you know, myself and others have tried to help him. So, yeah, it's unfortunate that a life was taken here. It really is. Okay, heavy show for Friday. Wow. Oh, boy, folks. All right, I'm going to have to table. And again, I keep doing this. I wanted to talk about the Olympics and the new rules because of COVID. COVID is ramping up over there out in Tokyo. I'm going to get to that next week. I'm going to get to that on Monday. I've wanted to, but these stories, the Matt Schimbeckler story just came, and then Clarissa Shields winning. I mean, I had to bump that up. And I also want to talk about Juwan Howard, who is staying. And he's let it be known that I am not going to the NBA. I'm staying right here in Ann Arbor. What that says about the future of the University of Michigan on the hardwood. And is it the right move for Juwan Howard? Because I may have a different take than most. We'll get to that on Monday's show. But until then, folks, I know it was a heavy show today, but I really hope you guys have a great weekend. It's going to be beautiful outside. Please enjoy it. Get active. Get outside. Get out and about. You guys know we only get, like, what, 3 good months out of 12 here in Michigan, so please enjoy this. Play some golf, why don't you? But hey, be smart, be safe, and as always, please, be easy, people.